Chapter 7. Her. It wasn't long before Maqua found Shimna. Her purple clothing was easy to spot, as was her tan fur against the green grass on the bank of the swamp where she sat. Sir Ruth had been right, and Maqua's ears laid back in annoyance at the fact that the man almost always was. He wondered how it was possible for an adult to be so wise yet so young. Sir Ruth was both, but before Maqua considered the matter any longer, he was close enough to Shimna for her to hear him coming. She looked back, cringed, hunkered low in the grass, and watched him come. Maqua rolled his eyes at the concealment attempt. As he got closer, he pondered what to say to her, wondering what he could do to make friends with this little menace. He put his head in his palm and tried to figure out what to do. A gust of wind flipped his colorful hat off his head. He looked down at it as Saruth's words haunted him, and he quoted the man.
"A gift opens the way to friendship between people, be it kind words, benevolent actions, or something you hand someone in amiable sincerity."
It was wordy now. Sir Ruth had said it during one of his long-winded offerings of wisdom in those lengthy hours on the cart, and at the time Maqua had just wished Sir Ruth would shut up. Rolling his eyes, he leaned down, picked up his hat, and walked over toward Shimna, pretending not to see her there as he moved to sit down some 30 feet away from her. He avoided eye contact, sat, and waited, sure that it wouldn't be long before the strange girl would come to him. He felt smug satisfaction a few minutes later as he heard her creeping through the grass near him. Just to his left, he heard her sniff at him and sneeze.
"Shimna?"
He couldn't help but grin like an idiot when he heard her yelp and fall over backward. There were then sounds of struggling and effeminate noises of frustration. He stood up and walked closer to find her fussing with clothing tangled in a thorn bush. The tails that flowed back from the chest wrap were tight behind her among the thorns, where she couldn't reach them without getting stuck, and the more she fought, the worse the situation became. He laughed, which was a mistake. She screamed and then hissed in anger as she bared her claws at him. He held out a hand toward her, claws hidden. That got him a growl. Ignoring it, he crept forward to offer her the colorful hat.
"Here, you menace."
Green eyes full of fury subsided into curiosity. She stopped struggling, and she got very still but for her twitching tail. After another moment, she reached to accept the gift while looking him up and down.
"Detempt Shimna?"
Her tail wriggled behind her. Maqua blinked and then shrugged and nodded as he held up both hands. The girl's face bloomed in a huge grin. She put the hat on her head and then tried to get up, only to be pulled back by her clothing. Maqua held up a hand, making a soft whistle to get her attention, which he got in short order. She blinked, watching as he gestured for her to relax. His advance got a soft growl, but she let him get near enough to get behind her and unwrap her clothing from amid the vines. Looking over her shoulder, she watched the proceedings. He rolled his eyes.
"Oh, I can see you and me are going to get along great."
He drew in a breath as he pricked one of his fingers just before getting her free, and rubbed the cut as he stepped back to watch Shimna get up and brush herself off. Her wild green eyes surveyed him for another moment, looked upward in thought, and then returned to him as she gave a shy smile.
"Thank Maqua."
He nodded, and then grimaced and put his finger in his mouth to lick the cut. It tasted nasty from some sort of plant juice. He turned to spit it out, looked at his finger, and grumbled. Shimna grabbed it and had a look, almost making him jump. She said something in her strange language, grabbed his wrist, and began to drag him back toward town while talking non-stop. None of it made any sense to him, but she talked like he understood it all. He was in awe. Here was someone who could talk more than Sir Ruth could. It was like she didn't even need to stop to breathe, let alone think, to direct the flow of syllables. When they got back to the saloon, she took Maqua to her father, and more words ensued. He noticed that Sir Ruth seemed lost at first, but then a moment after seemed to understand very well.
"How do you do that?"
Sir Ruth offered one of his good-humored grins.
"Ask me later. I'll give you this one even if you don't pick up the pebble for me."
Maqua groaned and grunted as his hand was held high for Tuljapa to inspect. With a soft answer to the flood of words Shimna offered him, Tuljapa reached into a pouch hanging from the belt of his loincloth and pulled forth a smaller one. Maqua watched him squeeze a drop of black liquid onto his cut. In a moment, Maqua couldn't feel the cut, and soon after couldn't feel that finger at all.
"Great fish! Sir Ruth, we need to get some of this stuff."
Sir Ruth laughed, as did Tuljapa. Once the laughter was over, he said,
I'll ask him about it for you. Before I go into that, though, I want to thank you for finding Shimna.
The girl's ears perked at her name, and she looked to her father, askance. Her voice seemed to intone the interrogative as she spoke more unknown words. Her father said something to her, pointed to Makwa, and then pointed outside as he opened his mouth to say something else. He paused and asked about the colorful hat while touching it and lifting a brow. There was an explosion of explaining and hands upheld as she tried to assure him that she didn't steal it. Makwa nodded and thought hard for a moment while narrowing one eye. Then he said in the way he'd heard her say it,
"Makwa de Tempt Shimna."
The torrent of words came to a halt, and both men blinked, as did the girl. Saruth licked a fingertip and placed a point in the air.
"Well done, Makwa. You learn fast."
Makwa grinned and nodded as his tail lashed in energetic appreciation. Tuljapa asked Saruth something in Regentan, to which he nodded. Tuljapa then turned to Makwa and leaned closer.
"Will you keep Shimna company today for me? You look to be good with her, and she pleased with your company, too."
Makwa considered protesting, but one look past the man from Saruth killed that idea. Saruth took his hand and pressed a few coins into his palm as he leaned to look him in the eye.
"Have some fun, and include her. Meet us at the inn later. Also, remember this, because I can tell you find her strange. The more you learn about others, the more you'll learn about yourself. People are people, no matter if they are male or female, or from this or that place."
Makwa managed to keep from rolling his eyes at the words, figuring they would come in handy sometime. Maybe. Probably.
Ugh.
He reached to grasp Shimna's hand and was surprised when she didn't struggle and just gave a happy little coo that made him wish he hadn't done that. Saruth glanced Makwa's way with amusement in his eyes at the exchange. He stuck his tongue out at Saruth and turned to lead the girl out into the street. The first hour or so the two wandered the town like a ship without a compass, Shimna willing to follow where Makwa led. Makwa followed where his wandering spirit took him, as long as it avoided a certain street with a woodcart on it. He found out that Optinoth was shaped almost like a triangle. Canals in the swamps to the coast on one side, the road that led to Barumith on another side, and on the final side a vast border of swampland. Shimna was as talkative as ever, and for his part Makwa was good company to the girl, though he couldn't understand more than a few words of it. He nodded when she pointed to things she knew about and perked his ears when she would jabber on about them. Sometimes when they would stop near the edge of town, she would pick up a plant and show him something about it. There were quite a few plants that were edible, some of which tasted good, and others Makwa would refuse to eat again if it ever came to that or starvation. She was rather knowledgeable about the subject, he realized, and Makwa soon wished he could respond with more than grunts, faces, or gestures. He was sure he could learn something interesting, if only he spoke her language. There was one plant he found himself very fond of. It was a small vine that grew on the sides of trees and produced little yellow berries. It had a sweet, tangy taste that reminded him of some candies he'd once gotten from a kind stranger back home. He held up a hand during the explanation.
"Shimna, what's this one called?"
She blinked, and her torrent of syllables halted as though a dam had been constructed to shore them in. She perked an ear.
"A question to Specca?"
He couldn't help but laugh at the expression of curiosity on her face. She snorted at him and asked the same thing again, seeming to believe he could speak her tongue if he just tried hard enough. He waved his hands.
"What's this one called? This one?"
He pointed at it. She frowned, staring at him, the painting of confusion.
"This one?"
Something clicked in his head, his trap-like memory working overtime for him as he remembered something Tuljapa said to Saruth. He had thought it meant, "What is the matter?" or "What is going on?" Gathering his memory to aid him, he said,
"Shimna, a question?"
He pointed to the yellow berries as he said it. Shimna blinked again, making Makwa want to put his forehead in his palm in frustration. But just when he was about to tell her not to bother telling him, she said,
"Aya, Kupatha!"
She pointed to the plant.
"Despeca de notha Kupatha!"
The girl held up both hands, palms toward one another, and moved them as if separating three things clumped together.
"Kupatha!" "Kupatha?"
Makwa lifted a brow and then shrugged.
"Kupatha is good."
He ate another berry and rubbed his belly. Maybe communication with this walking library of torrential plant facts could be achieved after all. Shimna smirked and waved a finger.
"Nifmano."
Makwa lifted a brow and offered an interrogative growl. The girl made a face and pointed to her belly, her rear end, and then shook her finger at Makwa. He tried to eat another. She snatched his wrist and shook it out of his grip. Makwa jumped in startlement and growled at her. What was she on about now? She yipped, but then laid her ears back and growled right back at him, face to face. He didn't know what to think. To appease her, he nodded, held up both hands with claws hidden, and stepped back.
Okay, Shimna, have it your way.
He huffed out a breath, turned, and continued down the swamp border with his tail lashing behind him. She followed him, continuing to talk and talk and talk, and just when she finished, talk some more. Just when Makwa got to the point where he would have been willing to pay a fortune to have the language translated for him, she stopped. The sudden silence was enough to make him look up at her from where he crouched studying a thorny bush just to see what had happened. Her emerald eyes were alight with curiosity as she leaned closer to him and said in a half-whisper,
Makwa, a quissa move?
At least I know it's a question, he thought to himself. He licked his nose, glanced up at her, and wondered why he was whispering.
Move?
She pointed at a shape that was wandering through the underbrush.
Move.
Makwa blinked and turned to gaze through the brush, placing one hand on the ground as he hunkered down, ears back. He looked out of the corner of his eye at the girl. In spite of her verbose nature, she seemed attuned to whomever she kept company with, which could be good in anything involving stealth, like thievery. Ahead, through the brush, something caught his eye. The shape was familiar, and something about the movement made his mind itch. All of a sudden, he knew what it was. He stood and clapped his hands together. Sebastian! Shimna jumped. Sebastian came at a trot, crashing through the underbrush and shallows. Shimna shrieked and took off as she screamed,
Fazuga!
The catberry swept in and nuzzled Makwa in the chest, bowling him over and licking his face with a happy series of grunts. Makwa found himself slathered in happy licks that smelled like kupatha juice while he was pinned to the ground by the big beast's enthusiasm.
Ack! Stop! Ack! You huge thing!
Sebastian kept licking. Shimna kept screaming as she ran. It all happened at once, and he was struck with how funny it was. The licks and joy of the reunion, coupled with the ridiculousness of his plight at their mercy, made Makwa laugh, and Shimna's yelling as she scrambled away added to it to the point where he was incapacitated with mirth as he squirmed and palmed at the affectionate beast's nose.
Hi, Sebastian!
He hugged the catberry's head to his chest as he squirmed and grinned. Shimna looked over her shoulder and stopped when she heard the sound of Makwa's laughter. When she saw that he was fine, she gave him a look that could dry seaweed. She turned around and stalked closer as she began saying things to him in her language that sounded as vicious as she thought Sebastian had been. She held her tail in her hands as she stood over Makwa, rubbing down the frizz as she chewed him out in cruel terms unknown. Makwa continued hugging the big pathberry, wrapped his arms around his neck, and rubbed his head, which incited coos of pleasure. He looked up at Shimna from where he lay and thought that though it was impossible she'd never seen a catberry as friendly, maybe she just didn't know much about them. She hadn't seemed scared of the one pulling the cart during the time he'd chased her. He grunted, gripping Sebastian's head, shoving him to no avail, and then swapped tactics, scooting himself back and standing up before the big beast could step forward to lick more. Shimna stood there, a quiet growl flowing from her as she looked on, tail now lashing.
Shimna, he won't hurt you.
He took her hand and guided it to the animal's shoulder. Shimna squeaked when he grabbed her, but didn't resist. She was hesitant, but to her credit seemed to trust Makwa. The girl ran a timid hand along Sebastian's warm, scaly hide. Sebastian looked over at her, tipped his head closer, and reached out with his long, deft, spoon-shaped tongue to lick her cheek once. With her trademark yip of surprise, the girl jumped back, rubbed her face, sniffed her hand, and then said to Makwa,
Sebastian de...
It was now her turn to fight the language barrier. He lifted a brow at her.
What?
She rolled her eyes and gestured in a way that suggested they ride Sebastian. Makwa looked at the catberry.
What do you think, Sebastian? Will you let us ride you?
He rubbed the amiable beast's head and got a gentle coo in response. Hours later, Makwa and Shimna rode back into town. Sebastian followed Makwa's spear with a kupatha vine hanging from it. They had made good use of the remainder of their day, and Shimna had gathered some sort of plants for Toljapa. At least that's what Makwa had guessed from her remarks when asked about them. For his own mission, Makwa had gathered a large number of kupatha berries wrapped in a big, floppy spiral leaf. Every now and again, Makwa would lean over as far as he could and slip one into Sebastian's mouth. As they neared the inn, the lightkeeper was out at the streets, filling the lamps, setting the wicks, and keeping the oncoming darkness at bay. The lit lamps cast yellowish pools of weaving illumination upon the cobblestone streets, and were soon the focal point of many night insects. They seemed to make sport of slamming into the ornate wire mesh that protected them from the hunger of the flames within. Makwa stopped Sebastian in front of the inn by lifting his spear. The Cathberry stood still, looked up at the berries, and pondered how to obtain them. The animal's eyes bulged a little as he tried to reach up with his long tongue and almost got the berries. Makwa lifted his spear just a little, toying with the beast. Shimna snorted at him and swatted his side as she said something snarky-sounding that was probably about being mean to animals. Maybe it was also about boys being terrible. The tone sounded right. The servant who had chased Makwa earlier that day happened to walk out of the front door. He walked up, took hold of the collar Sebastian wore, and narrowed his eyes. "Well, what have we here? It isn't our troublesome spear-waving savage, is it?" Makwa had been so caught up in pondering what Shimna had maybe said and in teasing the Cathberry that he jumped a little and groaned as he looked at the man.
"Great fish."
Shimna uttered an uneasy sound and gave the stranger a look that was on its way to becoming a glare as he stood there. The servant laughed.
"Relax. You've just saved me hours of time, kid. I was looking for this Cathberry most of the day, and I'd gotten ready to hunt him this evening. Now I can turn in once chores are done, thanks to you. I won't mention earlier today to anyone again except to compliment you on your ability to run like your tail is on fire."
Makwa lashed said tail and slipped from Sebastian's back. He pointed a finger at the servant's nose as he pushed the leaf full of berries against his chest.
"You take good care of Sebastian. He's a very good Cathberry, and he probably wandered away because he got hungry."
The servant grinned as he accepted the berries and then bowed to Makwa.
"Yes, sir, I'm a guest. I shall see that your wishes are carried out to the letter."
Shimna blinked. Makwa turned his back on the man, stomped two steps away toward the door, and held his chin high.
"Good. See to it."
He huffed for effect, closed his eyes for a moment, and then glanced back at both of them. Shimna slid off to join Makwa, her expression showing that she was impressed. She took his hand as she arrived, purred in near silence, and stood close. That was kind of new.
"Come, Shimna."
He tugged her toward the door. She didn't resist and said something in a tone that sounded all too pleased as she walked with him. That probably wasn't a good thing.
"Ew,"
he thought to himself. He hoped that wherever Saruth was, he'd never ever find out about it. A moment later, he couldn't imagine being that lucky without dying to pay for that luck later. Saruth knew too much. As the two walked away, the servant called to them,
"I shall also see that I do not leave the stable gate open again when I rush off to help screaming old ladies who are being beset by spear-brandishing unruly knaves."
Makwa winced, hoping Saruth hadn't heard about that either. Makwa was used to Shimna's talking by now, and he noticed that this time it wasn't bothersome to him as she went on and on while enlightening her father about the day's events. He had to admit to himself that it had been a pretty good day, and was without a doubt better than most he had experienced back home after the death of his mother. The thought of his mother made him close his golden eyes and pour out a long sigh from his lips as he envisioned the past.
"Shimna was much trouble, Makwa."
Makwa blinked his eyes open and returned to the present to see Chaljapa's curious expression. He shook his head.
No. It was a very good day. Shimna was no trouble for me."
Shimna gave Makwa a dubious glower and scrunched her nose as he talked about her. Tiljapa said something to her and lifted a brow with a grin that accompanied a teasing sort of tone. This brought a smile to her face and a nod of gratitude to Makwa, accompanied by a moment of silence and then a sudden hug. He just sat there with his eyes wide as she hugged him and tried to figure out what to do. He also tried to ignore Saru's grin at his plight as he gave her an awkward hug in return and, in a moment, patted her on the back until she let go. Saruth laughed.
"From what she said, it sounds like you two had quite a day. Would you like to add anything to the grand tale?"
Makwa rolled his eyes. "Saruth, I wouldn't even know where to start. You still haven't told me how you understand it all."
Saruth snapped his fingers, a gesture that made both Tiljapa and Shimna look at his hand as though they weren't quite sure how he did that.
"You're right, Makwa. Tomorrow we'll spend some time together before we set out in the evening, and we will discuss it."
Tuljapa said something in his language to Saruth, who nodded, and then gathered Shimna in his arms while making sounds of mock threat as if to eat her. Squeals of delight were accompanied by much squirming as he hoisted his daughter over his shoulder and walked out of the inn. Just before the door closed, Makwa caught a glimpse of Shimna's smile as she waved a frantic goodnight to him.
Lovely, isn't she?
Makwa looked at the spear that sat over his lap, touching along the tip.
For a thieving runt, yes.
His eyes came up after a moment of silence had elapsed. Saru smiled in his most annoying way, eyes narrowed as though he knew every secret there was and was plotting to act on all of them.
I'm reminded of another thieving runt I once knew. Why don't you cast nets into that sea for a while and discover if you can discern to whom I'm alluding?
Makwa lifted a fingertip, claw out as he opened his mouth, only to close it when he noticed the expectant, almost gleeful look in the man's eyes. Saruth looked like a fisherman whose trap was about to catch a fish and had hands on the rope to pull it up. He growled and waved his hand.
Arguing with you is sails against the wind, Saruth.
Saruth broke into a huge, wonderful laugh, and half the room looked over to see his joyful expression. He gestured at Makwa with his staff as he tried to catch his breath and said,
You do learn fast, Makwa. I heard that someone upset an old lady here this morning by charging around with a spear. Any idea how the culprit will fare once he's found out?
Makwa slouched back in his plush chair and propped his feet up on the accompanying stool in relaxation. He pushed against it, tipped the chair back on two legs, and stretched.
Yeah, he'll live. The guy who caught him found he had gotten back something that was lost.
Saruth looked at the fireplace, and his blue eyes reflected the flickering flames for a moment.
Sebastian was happy to see you when you saved him, then.
Makwa had just laid his head back and closed his eyes, when he almost fell backward out of his chair.
How do you do that?
Even as he spoke, he struggled to remain upright. Saruth held up a hand. Makwa snorted, offering a glower as he gripped the chair arms. He wobbled a little, inched forward a bit, and curled his tail up to keep his spear over his thighs as he brought things under control. His ears lay back while he regained his composure and gripped the stool with toe claws, glad in that moment he'd taken his boots off. He growled, and once he had his feet propped up on one another again, he closed his eyes and crossed his arms over his chest as his tail lashed in impatience. Saruth cleared his throat.
A missing Cathberry is something people ask others about. Adding it up wasn't hard, especially when all the Cathberries in a story given by a little girl are called Sebastian.
Makwa opened one eye, glared at Saruth, and then smirked.
I sort of netted her out after a while. She talks a lot, and my head hurts if I try to understand it all.
Another trademark smile played across Saruth's face. He reached up with his right hand to tweak his whiskers as his left hand gestured with his staff at Makwa.
Not after tomorrow.
Makwa closed his eye and breathed out a happy sigh.
Good. Now, will you do me a big favor, Saruth?
The smile could be heard in his voice.
What would you request?
Make some cool wind upstairs so I can sleep better. I think I need it after a day this big.
The sound of the man's laughter was warm as he got to his feet and walked up the stairs. This prompted Makwa to action, and a night of good comfortable sleep and a cool breeze soon followed.